Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. Sam Britton back here with part two of the podcast dealing with the two-wire home portal gateway. We did a part one on this, and I thought maybe it would be good to come back for a part two on this and clarify a few things. I had a request from one Blind Cool Tech listener, Mary Emerson, who made the request to maybe go through some of the predefined port settings, and I appreciate the compliment on the last piece, and we'll certainly be glad to do that. So we're going to do that, and then at the end of this podcast, we'll do a few house cleaning things, a couple other things regarding a few things we talked about in past podcasts, a few minor updates to some things, and we will cover that at the end of this podcast. Anyway, the one we're going to be doing today, the home portal, is the home portal 2700 HGB. This product is the latest from 2Wire. The one we did the last time was one I had off the shelf, which wasn't being used because I didn't want to make any changes on the one I was using. And so I had an extra one around here, and I just hooked it in on my Ethernet port on this computer. And by doing that, I was able to work the interface and open and close any port I wanted. And then when I was done, I could reset the whole thing and start over without interfering with any internet activities here at the house. But today, because we're not going to be making any major changes, we will do the one connected up here in the house, which is the 2000 series, the 2700 HGB gateway. Now, the thing I want to mention, first of all, is that the interface on both of these devices is virtually identical. So that's why I was able to use the other one I had on the shelf, which is a Home Portal 1000. And so there was virtually no difference between what we were doing with the 1000 and what we are doing with the 2000. The firmware is a little different, but other than that, they are pretty much the same. Certainly in the end of the interface, they are. The home portals, to recap just a little bit, the home portals are put out by internet service providers such as SBC, what is now AT&T, what used to be SBC. Bell South had been putting some out, and now, of course, they're going to become AT&T. Boy, don't you just love the way things go back together after the Bell system breaks up? Yes, sir. It's amazing, isn't it? How things go back to being the same after they changed. Bell South had been putting these things out, and I don't know if some of the other companies like Quest and some of them were putting this stuff out or not, but I know certainly that the Bell companies put them out. You can go to 2Wire's website, which is www.2wire.com. That's www.2wire.com. And you can go up there and see the listings of some of the stuff. And if you look around, you can even find demos of the user interfaces right online so that you can look at them yourself on your Windows PC. Now, remember that I've been demonstrating this on a Macintosh, but they are available online. Somebody in their wisdom up there thought it might be nice to put the actual user interface HTML pages on the website so that you can actually go in and see what the user interfaces look like and how they are to control. And I forgot to mention that on the last podcast. So you might want to fish around on that website and you should be able to find them. It would be under 2Wire Gateway Demos. So type that into the search up there and you should see the various firmware revisions and their interfaces, which is kind of neat. All the way up to firmware 3.7.5. Now, the reason they didn't go any higher than that is because the firmware above 3.7.5 really doesn't offer any differences in the user interface for the most part, so they just didn't do that. So that is why that the maximum number in the versions goes up to 3.7.5. Now, they have, of course, later versions of the firmware than that, but, you know, it'd be kind of fruitless to put the same interface up there twice. Basically, what they did on the demo page is anytime there was a revision in the interface, that's what they posted. So, anyway, that's up there, and you can actually take a look around on the Windows PC if you want to see this further, because how I may describe it on a Mac and how it may appear on Windows, you know, using Firefox or using Explorer or something like that may be two different things. You know, your browser sometimes will determine how things look from one place to another. How we did the past podcast and how we're going to do this one is using the browser, which comes with OS 10 called Safari. And let me reach over and turn up my headset so I can hear what I'm doing. There we go. My mic was a little low. Okay, that's better. Good. Let's do this. Let me make sure we have the computer coming through here. Yeah, there it is. Got to turn it up here just a little bit. And we're recording on the same machine that we're doing this on. And for some of you that are wondering how I've arranged the technical arrangements to do this, I have an extra sound card in this particular Macintosh, which allows me to carry the actual recording audio away from the screen reader that is in OS X, and I'm feeding the output from the main output of the Macintosh into my mixer board on the extreme right-hand end. I'm using a 1402 Mackie mixer, and I'm feeding the audio in from the screen reader into the extreme right-hand pot on that board. And then the sound card is actually picking up the audio, and I'm hearing that through my headset, which is plugged into my dubbing box and ultimately into my system down here in the studio. So we actually have two outputs we can work with, which makes this real nice when you're doing recordings like this. So anyway, a little bit on the arrangement as to how we're doing that. And it works out good when you have these different connections. So let's put Audio Hijack into the background so I don't inadvertently stop the recording. Last time I stopped the recording and I had to go back and make a part two, and then I had to sit down and rejoin them after I made them because
Audio Hijack Pro Finder flash drive selected.
Yours truly decided to stop it by accident, and well, that's the way it goes. So what can you say? Mistakes, mistakes. But that is not going to happen again this time.
Audio Hijack Pro.
Okay, let's go back down here to Safari.
Transmit Safari. Press Safari.
And we're going to go into Safari.
Safari untitled window scroll area.
Okay, now we are going to bring up the Home Portal Gateway, the 2000.
Interact with dialog for untitled window. Then items RGB 0.0581 to view
this page. Got in the wrong name. I got to move this.
Password edit secure text. Remember this password in my keychain.
I don't want to remember that password in my keychain. Thank you.
Closing dialog.
Okay, let's do it this way.
Untitled window. Scroll area.
That interface we almost wound up in was for the Sapura voice over IP adapter that we reviewed here a while back, and we'll comment on that a little bit more later on, but I have not moved that that bookmark in the chronological order it should be in, and it's showing up on number one. I think the people over at Apple have forgot how to count, because whenever you add a new bookmark into the bookmarks bar, the newest one always winds up in the first position, which could be good if you were just navigating it via menu. But when I'm using hotkeys like I am on the keyboard, I always like for my favorite things in chronological order to appear. And my Home Portal Gateway, I always like to have in position one, because if I want to go in there and make any changes, it's like, boom, I'm in there and I don't have to ask questions. In this case, it likes to add the new bookmark at number one every time I enter something new in the bookmarks bar, and it kind of drives me nuts. It's just a preference, to each their own, right? Right. Anyway, let's move forward here. Now, remember the last time we recapped the issue of the links bar here, and I'm going to go over this one more time. in the home portal so that you can get an idea, because once I start navigating different things, I'm going to skip this toolbar because it's the same on every page. You know how when you navigate into things like newspapers online and stuff that have a real long links bar up at the top before you, or up at the top end before you actually get into news articles and stuff? Well, they do the same thing here. And if I sit here and I go through all these links on every page, it's stupid because they're all the same on every page. So I'm going to go through them one time for you, and then when we start navigating to different areas of the gateway, we're going to skip that because it's just fruitless. And I should have done that the last time and didn't, and you know how it goes. Anyway, so let's go down through it.
Link. System image.
System.
Link. Link. Broadband link image.
Broadband link.
Link. Link. Home network image. Link. Link. Firewall image.
Okay, you can hear it saying what it is.
Link. Link. Sitemap.
Sitemap.
Link. Help. Link. Home.
Okay.
Link. Help.
Help. I skipped over that by accident a while ago.
Link. Home.
Home.
Link. System password.
System password.
Link. Date and time settings.
Date and time settings.
Link. Details.
Details.
Link. Help image.
Okay, there's two helps here for different things. Depending upon which one of these you click on is what you'll get.
Link. Network at a glance.
Network at a glance just goes over your network settings as they exist.
Link. System image.
System.
Link. Bullet. Link. Change system password.
There's a bullet symbol there. Change system password.
Bullet. Link. Privacy policy.
Privacy policy.
Bullet. Link. View details.
View details.
2700HGB gateway.
Okay.
Boot. Software. 4.25.19.
4.25.19 is the software.
Boot. Password.
Password.
Set.
Password set.
Link. Broadband link image.
Broadband link.
Link. Boot. Link. View summary.
View summary.
Broadband connection speed. Broadband link.
Okay.
Connection speed. Boot. Incoming. 512 kbps.
Don't you love the way she says bullet?
Boot. Outgoing. 512 kbps. Link. Home network image. Link. Boot. Link. View the home network.
View the home network.
Home network. Computers. PC image. SAMS. G.4.1.5.G.B.
Okay, that's the machine we're on. Let me do this.
Pitch. Volume. Rate. Slower.
Okay, we'll slow it down a little bit, too, in case some of you might have trouble understanding her.
PC image.
Let's see.
Broadcast. Server.
Okay, that's PC one of image. Our servers that we use for delivering broadcasts on the internet stream.
Sapura SPA.
Sapura SPA. It just says SPA, but it's SPA.
PC image. Trish's laptop, too.
There's one of Trish's two laptops upstairs in the list.
PC image. The Information Corner server.
The Information Corner server. That's my FTP server that I have here at the house, which we host all the broadcasts on, stuff like that.
Firewall. Link. Help.
That's the list of the machines that are there.
Link. Firewall image. Link. Bullet. Link. View firewall summary. Firewall active. Upgrade the system. Link. Help. Link. Upgrade the system.
Okay, now that help right after that would have been if you wanted to read about upgrading the system, then you could click on that and you could go in and see what's in the help. They got different help tags you can click on in here by the different subject matters that you're going through here. So let's go ahead and go on back around here.
Link. Bullet. Link. View available upgrades and options. Your system setup. Your system software is current. Check back for future available upgrades.
Okay, I have a tendency to rush her sometimes, so if I back up, you notice that's why, because I'm rushing her a little bit. And
setup. Link. Help. Link. Setup. Link. Bullet. Link. Registration info.
Registration info. That's where you would register the 2Wire with 2Wire.com. So let's go ahead and go on.
Link. Run system setup wizard.
Run system setup wizard. That's where if you're going to set the 2Wire gateway up, that's where you would go to do it. And by the way, that's an interesting process that we could talk about if need be. It's a little hard to explain without actually disrupting the internet service and doing it, but we're not going to do that here. If somebody ever has a problem with this, I can get you straightened away, and there's tons of instruction material. In fact, there's PDF manuals for these, by the way, up online at 2wire.com, and you can read those, and they're, if you have a PDF reader, you can read them. If not, It's real easy to generate a text version of it. Since we can do PDFs over here on these Macintoshes, I can strip the text out of one of them and generate a text document. Of course, unless it's locked, then they won't let you. You'd have to unlock it in some cases. I've had some rare cases where I've had PDFs that have been locked, and I've not been able to do it. But most of the time, you can. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Run the system setup wizard. Link image. Link. System image. Link. Link. Broadband link image. Link.
Okay, we're back around now.
Link. Home network image. Link. Link. Firewall image.
Okay, let's go into firewall.
Press firewall image. Link image.
Okay. By the way, that ding that you hear when you're navigating in Safari, that is a signal that's sent out by VoiceOver to indicate when you're on the next page, when the next page is fully loaded. And that's the noise you're hearing every time you click on a link and a page comes up. It makes that noise. So I just thought I'd tell you in case some of you
link.
May not know what
system
that is.
Link. Link.
Let me go down
link. Link.
And find
link.
The
link.
Settings
image.
Here.
Link. Link, site, link, help, link, home, link, file, link, advanced settings.
Okay, let's
link,
do this.
Firewall settings.
Okay, let's go into firewall settings first, and then after we do that, we're going to go into advanced settings, and I'll show you what's under the advanced settings, what you can do there. But
press firewall settings.
We're
link,
going to deal.
Link
we're going to deal, first of all, with the question that you had, Mary, regarding all the different ports.
Cancel button, submit button, edit secure text.
And we're going to deal with that right now. Let me log into this first. Okay, return.
Link image.
Okay, we're in. Good. Okay, now. All right, we're in. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to
Sam's G.4.1.5.G.B pop-up button.
Okay, that is the this computer that we're on, and since we're not going to change anything, let's just go down and we'll look
image.
At the list. We showed you how to change an item once before.
Edit firewall settings for this computer. Selected radio button. Maximum protection. Disallow unsolicited inbound traffic. Radio button. Allow individual application S. Choose the application S that will be enabled to pass through the firewall to this computer.
Hope they correct that.
To the hosted applications list.
Hope they correct that in the next release of OS 10. Application S instead of applications. That drives me up a wall.
All applications pop-up button.
I think there's a way to change it. I just haven't really explored it hard enough. You know, it's one of those things. 10 million things on your plate, and you only get to 10 maybe.
Hosted applications scroll area.
Okay, let's get in here. Hosted applications scroll area, and we're going to go down through a whole complete list of what's here.
Interact with table on Shoutcast 2. Shoutcast 2. Edit text.
Okay, now Shoutcast 2 is a user application, a user-defined application that I added into the list because I am running a Shoutcast server on port 8100, and the default does not go to 8100. And when I did try to use the default using my Shoutcast server, some could log in and some couldn't. Don't ask me why. So I'm using it. 8100, and everybody seems to be happy. So, anyway, that's the reason for that user-defined application.
SSL FTP.
SSL FTP is another user-defined application because they did not have SSL FTP in here. They had SSL listed in here as HTTPS, which is SSL for your web browser. Whenever you see anything that has HTTPS, that means that you are going into a website using Secure Sockets Layer. And they had that on this for HTTP, but they didn't have it for FTP. And SSL for FTP is just now starting to really come alive. A lot of people are now starting to use it. I have just done an update on my FTP server here that employs SSL. So anyway, that's what that's all about. And soon you will be hearing about SSL. If you haven't already, you'll be hearing about being able to do SSL in your email program. So you will be able to send encrypted email. Now, the only thing is the server that you're dealing with has to support SSL. You know, the email server that you're in contact with that you do all your mail through. But if it handles SSL, than you are able to do encrypted mail. So I just thought I would mention that as a side note.
VoIP2.
VoIP2 is a user-defined voice over IP application that I created on this thing for line 2 of my Sapura telephone adapter. Line 1 was already pre-configured and operating when I first put this 2-wire gateway in, but line 2, which is using another service and using a different port, was not working, and I had to create that user-defined application. Let's move on.
Age of Empires.
Age of Empires. Don't ask me. Probably a game configuration. Now, by the way, each one of these, I wish you could. The only thing I wish you could do with these predefined things is open these and check to see what ports some of these use, so you could determine how they lay these predefined port forwards out. But I have not been able to find a way to open these up and examine them. So anyway. They're just here as they are, and you can't get into them to look at them. What a shame. Let's go on. In other words, you can look at them as far as their titles, but that's as far as it goes, and you can add them to the list. Okay? But as far as actually going in and trying to edit one of these user-defined applications to see how it looks or to make a change on it, no, you can't do that. So just thought I would tell you that.
Age of Kings.
Age of Kings, another game.
Age of Wonders.
Age of Wonders, another game, probably.
Aliens versus Predator.
Aliens versus Predator, another game.
Anarchy Online.
Anarchy Online.
Asheron's Call.
Asheron's Call, whatever that is.
Baldur's Gate.
I don't know of half of these things.
Battlecom.
Battlecom, I know they're probably games.
Battlefield Communicator.
Battlefield Communicator.
Black and White.
Okay.
Dark Reign.
Dark Reign.
Dark Reign 2. Delta Force. Delta Force 2.
I hope you can understand it. I'm just going to let her go through it. It's probably a little quicker that way.
Descent 3. Descent Free Space. Diablo 1.07 Plus. Diablo I. Diablo 2. Dialpad.
Okay, now we're into some of the voice over IP port protocols here. Dialpad.
Dialpad.
Let's see. Yeah, Dialpad. Okay.
DirectX Games.
DirectX Games. Here's more game stuff.
DNS Server.
DNS Server. Okay. Yeah, obviously, most people know what that is, I hope. don't need to explain that.
Doom.
Doom is another game thing, probably.
Doom 2000.
Doom 2000.
Elite Force. EverQuest. F-16. MiG-29. F-22. Lightning 3. F-22 Raptor. Novalogic. Falcon 4.0. Fighter Ace 2. Fighter Ace 2 DX. Friedel.
Okay. Friedel came up in the internet phone settings that they had on here, messaging and internet phone, I think it was, when I set up the category, so I assume that's some sort of an audio phone protocol or something, some sort of a chat or something, I don't know. Anyway, let's go ahead.
FTP server.
Okay, we know what that is. But I don't know what an FTP server is. Well,
Ghost Recon.
Ghost Recon, yeah. Uh-huh. All right, let's go on.
Nutella.
Nutella. That must be one of the VoIP services that is available in here.
Half-Life.
Half-Life.
Heretic 2. Hessen 2. Hotline Connect 1.9.
Okay, that must be some sort of a chat or phone thing.
HTTPS server.
HTTPS server. Remember, we talked about that a while ago. That's for SSL, Secure Sockets Layer. We talked about that a while ago.
IMAP server.
IMAP server. We all know what that is.
IRC.
We should anyway. IMAP being, you know, for mail, you know, for mail servers.
I-76. Kali.
Kali or whatever. I guess that's what it is. Anyway, that's what it's saying. Anyway, I don't know what that is. Maybe I should, but I don't.
Kazai. Laplink Gold. LIVV. Lotus Notes Server.
Lotus Notes Server.
MechWarrior 3. MechWarrior 4. Midtown Madness. Motocross Madness. Motorhead Server. MSN Gaming Zone. MSN Gaming Zone DX. Myth, the Fallen Lords. Need for Speed. Need for Speed 3. Net2PHONE.
There's Net to Phone right there.
NetMic. NetMeeting, default PC.
NetMeeting.
an NTP server. Okay web. Okay win. Outlaws. PC Anywhere V7.phone free.
Whoops.
PC Anywhere V7.5.
Okay.
Phone free.
Phone free.
POP3 server.
POP3, that's standard email there.
PPTP server. Quake 2. Quake 3. Quake 3 server. Rainbow 6. Red Alert. Rise of Nations. Rise of Rome. Roger Wilco. Rogue Spear. Shoutcast server.
Okay, there's the standard Shoutcast protocol that I told you I had problems with when I tried it. And didn't work out, so I set up my own protocol and opened it up on another port. So that's what happened there.
SMTP server. Soldier of Fortune. Speak Freely. SSH server.
Speak Freely must be another phone thing. Of course, SSH.
Speak SSH server.
Yeah, SSH server.
StarCraft. SWAT3. Delnet server. The Forthcoming. Tiberian Sun. CNC3. Timbuktu Pro. Toad Annihilation. Ultima. Unreal Server. Unreal Tournament. Via Video. VNC. Vox Phone 3.0. Warbirds 2. Web Server. Web Phone 3.0. WinMX. X Windows. Xbox. XP Remote Assistance. XP Remote Desktop. Yahoo Pager. Shoutcast 2, Row 1.
Okay, we're back around. So there's your list of things that you can open that are predefined. And that there's something in the list you don't like, that you either would like to improve upon or something that isn't in the list, you can add it in the user-defined applications list. Another thing that is nice about the latest firmware in the 2000 series gateway is that if 2Wire has an update, there is a little button that will appear in that list, and you click on that, and it will add the latest item that they've come out with to the list. Because, you know, because there's new devices and protocols coming out all the time, and port ranges and stuff, so they have this where it's totally updatable. And also, of course, totally upgradable. You know, whenever they come out with a whole new firmware package, it can be loaded in. So that's a nice thing. So your investment is protected because as you continue to advance and technology continues to advance, they can upgrade it. Now, usually what will happen when you get one of these is that... You can get these through SBC, and a lot of times from SBC and some of these other service providers, you can get them free. Okay, that's what usually happens. You when you order service, if this happens to be one of the gateways that they give you, you can get them free and. Well, it's free for all intents and purposes. They probably add it on your bill, but you pay it off over time as you pay for your internet service. And usually what they will do to recoup the cost on these is they will have you sign up for a year's service or something like that. And that way, during that year contract, you're paying off that device. So that's usually how it works. So in a way, it's kind of free, but yet it's not. It appears on your bill. So you do ultimately wind up paying for it, but you pay it out over time. Now, the units can also be purchased through Best Buy stores. For whatever reason, Best Buy was the chosen one to carry these things. And... When you go in there, they retail. I know I gave for this one online when I ordered it, I gave $129 for this particular gateway. And that was because I'm not in SBC territory. If you're in SBC territory, they'll go ahead and throw it into your SBC contract. And I think you get it at somewhat of a discount, and then you can just pay whatever off, I guess, on your bill or whatever the case may be. But again, you can buy these if you... are looking for something different on your internet service provider connection, you can get one of these and spruce up your internet a whole lot better and just use them on whatever internet service you have. And they're totally configurable. So I don't think there's any internet service that they won't work with. Now, the one thing I want to point out to make sure that I was absolutely clear on the last time, This is a DSL modem and router slash firewall in one box and Ethernet switch, okay? What you have in here is you have a DSL modem, you have a firewall, you have a router, and you also have an Ethernet switch consisting of four Ethernet ports, okay? Some of the devices are put out with only one Ethernet port. They make a version with one Ethernet port. There are other two-wire gateways that have an Ethernet port and a USB, or four Ethernet ports and a USB. Some don't have wireless, some do. Now, the ones that you get through Best Buy are these 2700 HGBs, and these do not have USB, but what they do have is four Ethernet ports, a DSL modem, and wireless, okay? The wireless in these latest units is the latest protocol. And let me go into the wireless here for just a second. Let's bail out of this. Let me get out of this page. By the way, my sinuses are bothering me, so if you're wondering why I'm having to mute my mic and I sound somewhat distracted, it's because I'm having a cough every so often and it's driving me up the wall. And I hope I'm not getting horribly distracted trying to do this, but there's no good time to do this when you have constant sinus. So you just fight to get by.
SSL, FTP.
Okay, come on, get out of the page. Thank you. Okay, let's back out of that. It gets really bad when we're trying to do the radio show because when we're doing the radio broadcast, I'll be on this mic and Trish will be on the mic back across from me, and I will mute my mic and her mic will still be hot. And speaking of her mic, I'm going to turn this one down. Hers was open. But anyway, I will come through her mic in the background when I have to cough or something. And it's aggravating because you put in cough switches and you're thinking, you know, these are supposed to mute your cough, but they're not doing it because you got the other mic open in the background. Of course, I can't mute hers too at the same time, because if we're both doing a broadcast and she's trying to say something and I mute, if I have to mute because I have to cough and I were to mute both of them, I'd cut her off. So anyway, it's a pain. What can you say when you're running two mics? But she's got one of these, and I've got one of these. And so if you hear any disruption like this, you'll know what's going on, okay? Anyway, let's move along.
System. Link. Link.
Let me go down here and get into the...
Link. Firewall image.
Okay, let's go into the...
Link. Link. Sitemap. Press. Sitemap. Link.
Okay, let's go down here to the wireless section.
Link. Link. Sitemap. Link. Help. Link. Home. Link. Summary. Link. System password. Link. Date and time setting. Link. Details. Find your way around the system. Home network. Link. Home network. Image. Link. Bullet. Link. View the home network. Bullet. Link. Wireless settings. Press.
Okay,
wireless
let's
settings.
Go in here
link.
Real quick.
Link image. Stevia edit text.
Okay.
10.2457 megahertz. Pop-up
okay,
button.
Now there's the wireless, but let me go down here for
check,
a second.
Check box. WEP open. Pop-up button. Radio button.
In case you heard the name Stevia a while ago, one day, you know, these are all nameable. You can name them anything. And I was asking my wife, I said, what do you want to name the thing? And she says, I don't know. What do you want to name it? I don't know. You know, I'm always shoving stuff off into her court. She says, name it Stevia. I said, okay. So we did. And anybody knows what Stevia is? It's a sweetener. Some of you that deal with health foods, which I do, because I have to. Stevia is a sweetener, and there are several others like it that you can take, but Stevia is one of the more famous ones, and that's where that name came from. So if you heard the voice on the computer say Stevia, and Stevia normally has nothing to do with gateways, that's why, okay? So that is what happened there. So anyway, that's how the name of the network came up. It was one of those pass the buck, and Trish wound up taking the buck and applying a name. So anyway, that's how that happened.
Selected radio button.
Let me go down here and get
start
down here.
Start 211B/G pop-up button.
Okay, now there's where you can select your protocols, and this will work. The transmitter on this will do both 802.11b and 802.11g. Now, 802.11g And B means that depending upon what kind of a wireless card you have in your PC or whatever is what you will get, and it'll automatically determine that. This thing is much faster than wireless protocols I've seen in the past. I uploaded into my FTP server, which is locally here on my network, an hour-long broadcast here the other day, which was done at 64 kbps, and I got the whole thing up there in approximately 15-20 seconds. So that might give you an idea how fast the wireless is in this thing. I mean, it gets down in hauls. It is moving when you send something up. And the Ethernet in this thing is extremely fast. I uploaded a file a little bit earlier today, which was done, it was an MP3 done at 32 kbps. And the thing got up there. It was an hour-long program. It was one that we appeared on today as guests. And it was an hour-long program at 32 kbps, and the thing got up there in about 4 or 5.2 seconds, something like that. I tried to time it, and it went so fast I couldn't even keep up with it. So these things are lightning fast, both on their wireless and on their Ethernet. The wireless may be just slightly slower than the Ethernet, but not a whole lot. If I'll have to sometimes sit down and time it out and see if I can come up with a calculated difference. But anyway, I wanted to point that out to let you know that in the default configuration, the wireless automatically selects according to the type of wireless card you have in your PC. So you don't have to worry, well, as if somebody comes over and they bring their laptop and they're a guest, and let's say their laptop is an older laptop and only has 802.11b, will it work with the wireless? Well, the wireless will auto-detect what they have, and they are ready to go. So anyway, just thought I'd mention that. Let's get on back out of this.
Link wireless settings.
Okay, let's
link.
Let's go back into firewall now, because we're going to look at one other thing.
Network link. Firewall image.
Okay, let's go into firewall. Let's go into
link image.
Advanced settings here. Let's go down.
Link. Firewall image. Link. Help.
I'm rushing her, if you wonder what I'm doing.
Link. Home. Link. Firewall settings. Link. Advanced set. Press. Advanced settings. Link. Link image.
Okay, now we're in the advanced settings, and so I can skip over this links bar. That is the same on every page. We will do a tab down.
Checkbox.
Okay, we're at the first checkbox in the firewall in the advanced settings. And what this is, let's make sure I'm where
check
I think
to enable
I am.
The security. Check to enable the features below.
Check to enable the features below. Okay, security is the first group of selections that we will have. And here's what we have coming right out of the gate, the very first checkbox.
Checkbox. Stealth mode.
Stealth mode. Now, what stealth mode is, for those who may not know, is if somebody is out there looking for an internet network to play with, you can set the device up, the home portal two-wire gateway, so that there is no response, so that they don't know if they've hit a network or whether they have or have not hit a network. If you check that box and save those changes, will make the unit non-responsive to somebody out there that's hacking around looking for a network to disturb, okay? So that's what that's for. And by the way, one thing I want to mention while we're in here, while we're doing all this with the interface that I neglected to mention last time, you do have to have JavaScript enabled for all of this to work. I got into a pickle the other day because I was trying to save some changes, and I was going through these. In fact, it was in this area. I was going through some boxes, checking some stuff that I wanted to check, stealth mode and some other stuff that we'll get into in a few minutes. And I kept sitting there clicking save, and I was wondering, why in the world is it not going anywhere? And I was clicking it to beat the band. My wife, Trish, says, that isn't going to help you none. And I thought to myself, I know it isn't, but I'm getting aggravated, you know? It's like, and of course, like sitting there just clicking is going to really get me somewhere, right? Well, it turned out that I had JavaScript turned off, and unless you have JavaScript turned on, these features will not work properly. So I do want you to understand that you have to have JavaScript to use this thing properly, to be able to set this thing up and to work it and utilize it to its fullest extent, okay? All right, now let's move along. Stealth mode.
Check, checkbox. Block ping.
Block ping. You can block the ability of somebody to, ping your network.
Uncheck, checkbox. Strict UDP session control.
Strict UDP session control.
Link.
I had that checked one time, and it muted all of my abilities to stream audio, so I unchecked it. So, and I've never checked it since. I don't know if there's been any changes in this firmware or not, but on my old 1000 that we played with the last time, whenever I checked that box, I didn't have any streaming audio. I had mail, and I had internet surfing, but that was just about it. Anyway, let's go.
Help image.
Okay, and there's a help box right next to it that you can click on. It'll take you into a help page. We're not going to do that right now. Just gives you a brief thing and kind of chastises you that you better know what the heck you're doing before you get in here. You know, one of those things.
Link. Inbound and outbound control.
Inbound and outbound controls. So here we go.
Checking the box allows the associated traffic type through the firewall.
Okay, we know that.
Outbound.
Now we're into outbound.
Check, checkbox. HTTP. Check, checkbox. HTTPS. Check, checkbox. FTP. Check, checkbox. Telnet. Check, checkbox. SMTP. Check, checkbox. DNS. Check, checkbox. NetBIOS.
NetBIOS.
Check, checkbox. POP3.
POP3.
Check, checkbox. IMAP. Check, checkbox. NNTP. Check, checkbox. IRC. Check, checkbox. H323. Check, checkbox. All other protocols.
Okay, whatever that encompasses, it says all other protocols. It doesn't define what those protocols are when that's checked, but when you check it, it says all other protocols, and that's... I leave it checked because God only knows what kind of heartache I would create for myself if I unchecked it, so I just leave it, and, you know, because... One thing you want to understand about all this, there's no need really to uncheck these that I know of, because unless there's some predefined open ports that you want closed, and for some reason, and you want to override the ability to open some of these ports using the port protocols that we discussed a while ago, that would be the only thing I could think of. But other than that, I don't really know why. You would want to uncheck those, but I guess, you know, they're there if you do. But unchecking those overrides your ability to open ports in those particular fields, okay? And see, what I don't understand is what that one box that says all other protocols, if you uncheck that box and save the changes, I do not know what you would be closing because it's not specific. So anyway, let's move on.
Inbound. Uncheck checkbox. Remote management.
Okay, remote management. I have that unchecked, as you just heard. The reason that is unchecked is because with that box checked, as it obviously states, somebody could actually come in and remotely administer your server, okay? Or your server, your firewall, okay? As far as I know, if you have a password set, there's no way to circumvent that and get in anyway, but just to play it safe, I have that checked anyway, because let me tell you one thing that happened to me. I had a problem one time I was trying to figure out, and I called 2Wire, and I got one of their representatives on the phone, and was telling him what was going on, and without any user input from me as far as password or anything, that guy was in, and he was looking around in my system, in my firewall. And it kind of scared me because I thought, you know, this is a good thing right now because you're helping me out. But if you can get in without any input from me as to what needs to be used to get in, then anybody should be able to get in unless he was using. The only thing I can figure is there's the password that you've typed as a way in when you set it up, and they must have a way using the serial number or some sort of a number to be able to get in. They've got some way of getting in, though, some sort of a default wireless encryption key or something, or wireless encryption key. A serial number type encryption is what I meant to say. And who knows, maybe they could use the wireless encryption key, the default wireless encryption key. Anyway, what I'm pointing out is they have some default way of getting into these things. And so I thought, well, I'm going to uncheck this box and only check it when I need it. So I unchecked that remote management box, and that's the way it's been ever since. So anyway.
Check, check box. NetBIOS.
Okay, that's this is inbound stuff we're doing now. And that one appeared also in the outbound a while ago.
Restore defaults button.
Okay, if you check that box, that restores everything back to factory state, not the whole unit, but just those boxes that we were just discussing there.
Cancel button. Save button.
Okay, now there's a save button, but that's not all there is. There's some more up here.
Instructions. Limiting data traffic may disable support for hosted applications that require inbound communications, such as web servers, games, or internet chat programs. All data traffic will continue to be scanned by the firewall for known hacker attacks. Link. Help image. Link. Attack detection.
Okay, now here's some checkboxes dealing with attack detection.
Check to detect the types of attacks below. Check checkbox. Excessive session detection. Check checkbox. TCP/UDP port scan. Check checkbox. Invalid source/destination IP address. Check checkbox. Packet flood SYN/UDP/IC. Check checkbox.
Okay.
Invalid TCP flag attacks /. Check checkbox.
Hey man, let me back
TCP
up.
TCP flag attacks /Christmas/other. Check checkbox. Invalid ICMP detection. Check checkbox. Miscellaneous. Cancel button. Save button.
Excuse me. Apparently, what you can do here. Excuse me. You can have this thing warn you of an excessive session problem. And my understanding of it is if you have one of these viruses that goes in and attacks, say, something like your address book in Outlook Express and starts firing out all kinds of rogue emails to your people on your list, my understanding is apparently this thing will detect it and apparently stop it. Now, I don't know, you know, because not had a problem with that. So if anybody's ever had one of these firewalls and you've ever had a problem with where that feature excessive session detection comes in, I would be curious to know how it responds, whether it just puts out a warning in your web browser, excuse me, or whether it actually stops the data cold in its tracks. That would be interesting to know. So if you have had any experience with that, I would be pleased in finding out. Okay. So anyway, that completes the advanced settings.
Link image, link, system image, link, link, broadband link.
And image. We're back around. Now let's go ahead and close out of this.
Finder, flash drive, selected.
Because we're pretty much done there as far as that goes. And if you have any other questions, as usual, I will be glad to do what I can. Again, I'll give you my email and even a number where I can be reached once in a while. The only thing that I ask is on Tuesdays particularly, Mondays and Tuesdays to be exact. We're kind of busy around here because I'm trying to book guests for the broadcast, and sometimes you might get into a telephone frenzy that's going on around here as we're trying to call people and bring people up for our Tuesday night broadcast. So if you choose to get a hold of me, it's closer to the end of the week, closer to the weekend would be the best time. And if we're involved in something, I'll just call you back if you can leave information as, you know, where I can reach you. First of all, I'm going to give you the email address, which is Sam, S-A-M, at theinformationcorner.com. That's Sam at, and then it's theinformationcorner.com, T-H-E-I-N-F-O-R. MATIONCORNER.com. Okay. Now, I do have a phone where I can be reached. And like I say, if you go to call, please don't call during Monday or Tuesday because we're trying to do stuff for our broadcast. And anyway, that phone, should you care to reach me, is 360-515-3590. That's 360-515-3590. And that number rings through here on my voice over IP line. And the reason I give that out is because the voice over IP line is separate and apart from the house phone. It rings down here in the broadcast studio, and I can take calls on that without tying up the house phone. And it's a phone that I can mute during our broadcast. So, you know, that's another nice thing, too, because otherwise then you get calls, you know, somebody forgetting that you're on the air and then the phone rings and then it gets distracting. So, but anyway, that 360 number is a way that you can get through here. And I can chat with you then on something that I have covered here. Okay. All right. Now, a couple of things I want to mention and some house cleaning stuff. I did a podcast here a while back on the Sapura telephone adapter, which is a voice over IP device, has built-in firewall. Some of you may find that thing rather intriguing to have, where you have a firewall and a voice over IP device in one box. It doesn't have a modem, but it does have a firewall and router in it. You may find that appealing. If you're doing voice over IP, you only have two boxes. One box is the DSL modem or whatever cable modem or what do you have, whatever you have, and the voice over IP device, which doubles as a firewall, has a built-in firewall and is totally configurable as well. A little bit harder to configure than the two-wire that we just discussed, but it is configurable, okay? And so you get everything in one box, a two-line voice over IP adapter, which will hold two totally separate voice over IP accounts. And you will have the ability to have a firewall. So this device goes in your line between your DSL modem or cable modem, depending on what you have, and your computer. And you plug a telephone into line port one or port two, and depending upon which one you have configured, you can make voice over IP phone calls, and also depending upon what service provider you have configured, okay? If you go to Sapura's website, you can download the latest upgrade for that. Now, the reason I bring that up is because when I did the last podcast talking about this device, there was a little problem with the firmware. And I know some of you out there may have purchased a Sapura and may have had some problems with some audio quality and may need to upgrade it. Well, you can go to either Sapura's website or the Alinksys website, because Alinksys has now bought out Sapura, okay? So, in fact, it's clear down now when you go into the configuration menu for the Sapura. It doesn't say Sapura configuration menu anymore. It says Alinksys configuration menu. And so you can find the firmware for these things on the Alinksys website. And any of you that have Alinksys routers and stuff like that, you know what I'm talking about. You can go in there and look up the Sapura 2100 or 2102 or whichever model you happen to have your hands on, and you can go in and get the latest firmware for it, and that will resolve some issues. If you are a Mac user on the Blind Cool Tech list, it's not as easy to upgrade. So if you would like to get yours upgraded, let me know, and I will be able to walk you through pulling the upgrade. And what I have done here is I have posted a copy of the firmware file. The latest firmware file for the Sapura is sitting on my FTP server, and I have the web interface open, and what we just need to do is have you incorporate the path to that firmware update into your Sapura. It'll just reach through my IP address and pull it and put it into your adapter. Now, the reason I had to go to such great pains to do that is because I tried pulling it off of Sapura's site, but they have it zipped, and a zip file will not load into your Sapura. It has to be a bin file or binary file, and so what has to happen has to be put on your local PC and has to be it has to be unzipped, and then you have to extract the binary file and then put it on some web server somewhere, and then the path has to be put into the adapter. And it's not as simple as just putting the straight HTTP path in there. There's a whole protocol for that, and I don't want to get into that here because it'll make this file longer than it needs to be. And we can always do another file on that if there's a big request for it. I can give you the information on as to how to get in here and pull it off my server. And the only reason that I'm bringing this up is because I had to do that for myself, and I figure if I had to do it for myself, I may as well make it available for those of you that want it out there on the list, because on a Mac, you can't run a EXE utility like you can on the PC. So a workaround for that was to post it and then turn on remote provisioning, or at least a part of it, and forcing the thing to go out and look for the upgrade at reboot, and that fixed it. And the current firmware version cleared up a lot of problems, a lot of audio problems. It's way more stable now, and you can use various different dial plans that you couldn't use before. And it's just a neat device. In fact, let me cut over here just for a second, and I'll show you some of the stuff that you can do now since we've run the upgrade. There was a defect in the original firmware preventing you from doing various dial plans, and they fixed that and a whole host of other little buggy poos. So anyway, let's put the phone patch in. Yes, sir. Let's see. Okay, and by the way, I was talking about that configuration menu. Here's what it sounds like.
Linksys configuration menu. Please enter option followed by the pound key or hang up to exit.
Yeah, it's through our phone patch here, our JK
Linksys
audio thing.
Configuration menu.
That I've got it
please
on.
Please enter 172.16.1.29.
Dot.
Linksys.
She's British, isn't she? Okay, now, here's the thing I want to point out, though. There are a whole lot of free services out there. We've talked about Free World Dial-Up. There's others. There's another service called Voxalot. There's a lot of these free services out there that can be accessed using the Sapura. And I just mentioned a few here. Well, there is a way now in the dial plan to have several services at least that you can dial out on, okay? And there is a service called SIP Broker. And rather than have all those free services in here and a whole list of different codes to remember, I just simply put SIP Broker in there and I can dial virtually anything I want. And the way that works, for example, is... Okay, now let me go through SIP Broker, and I'll pick up a service provider over in Ireland, and you can get the time out of that service provider. And it will go... Come on, talk.
The current time is Sunday, January 7th, 2007. At 1:30 a.m.
Okay, they must have done a firmware upgrade on that. That's a different voice on the time thing. Now here, it's earlier. It's here, I'll give you our local time number on our straight telephone line to give you an idea of the difference between Ireland and where I am right now. Well, let's do it this way. Let's give the Owensville number.
Thanks for calling the Weather Phone, another community service off Fidelity. Is there anyone out there that doesn't have internet service? Well, use Fidelity's new online referral program and earn points for free gifts. Go to fitnet.com and click the Connect Rewards button to sign up.
The time is 7:31. The current temperature is 47 degrees.
So it's 7:31 here on a Saturday night, and it's Sunday, a little after 2, over in Ireland. So that gives you somewhat of where that time number is. But there's a whole host of things you can do up there. Echo tests and all kinds of stuff up there on SIP Broker, and they keep adding stuff to it all the time. And anyway, with the new firmware now on the Sapura telephone adapters, you can now dial all that extra stuff. And so if any of you are interested in upgrading your Sapuras, if you're on PC, go to Sapura's website, and you can download S-I-P-U-R-A, or you can go to the Linksys website, and you can pull down the firmware from there, the same Sapura firmware. So it's available if you have a 2100 or a 2102 or whatever. If you are a Mac user and you're saying, oh my God, how am I going to upgrade it? Let me know. And I can share with you the path to download the firmware into your adapter, along with the complete protocol as to how to get it in there so that the adapter will automatically flash at reboot. And you can put the 3.3.6 in there, I think it is what it is. Let me see. It'll tell me. I can make it tell me. Let's see.
Linksys 1503.3.6.
That's what it is. 3.3.6. That's what I thought. So check your firmware. By the way, if you have a Sapura telephone adapter and you want to know its firmware, hit 4 stars. You'll get in that Linksys menu. Then hit 150. Okay, and that'll give you the firmware. By the way, how I got the IP address to it is 110 a while ago. 120 gives you the subnet. 130 gives you the router address. 160 gives you the DNS entry. 140 gives you the MAC address of the device. And 170 gives you the port number that its web interface is listening on. So that gives you an idea of some brief codes to the Sapura telephone adapter. So anyway, enough of that. Clean that house up real good. Next, final thing on the list is I wanted to alert you all out there to a new, it's not new, but it's going to be new to you guys. If some of you haven't heard of it already, give it a listen. There is a tech show available on the internet at accentradionetwork.com. That's accentradionetwork.com. Program is aired. I'm going to give it in Central because that's where I am. You do the time sequentials for your own benefit. The program is on between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Time, which means that if you're on the Pacific Coast, you're going to have to get up pretty early to hear TechWatch Radio. Now, the reason I bring this up is because the guys who do it, in fact, first of all, the guys who do it is a guy by the name of Jay Harrison, who is the owner of the Accent Radio Network, and the other gentleman, who is a blind gentleman, his name is Sam Bushman. Sam Bushman is out of the state of Utah, and he loves tech. He loves trying out different gadgets, and he covers everything in tech on this broadcast. He and Jay do. And I would like to see a lot more blind people involved in this program, because if enough people really contact them listening to the program, you might be able to get them to extend it into 2 hours. It used to be a two-hour broadcast. They cut it back to 1 hour because they started doing this thing at 10 o'clock Central called Real Estate in Focus, and which, you know, my personal opinion is that you can't get a whole lot done in tech in 1 hour, particularly if there's phone traffic. So the reason I bring this up is I'm putting in a plug for Sam and Jay because I like the show. I listen to the show, and I think you will too. It doesn't just cover computers, although computers is certainly a lot of what they do, but they cover a lot of standalone devices, cell phones, PDAs, electronic gadgets of all kinds, you name it. MP3 players, if you can think of it, and it's electronic, they cover it. HDTV, HD radio. And if you would like to listen to some of the archives of their broadcast, you can go over to a website called Audio Canyon, as in like the Grand Canyon, audiocanyon.com. And there's a whole host of different programs in there, but one of them is TechWatch Radio. And you can download those on demand. So if you're not able to listen at the hour that it's on, you can download TechWatch Radio and play it on your MP3 player or just whatever, load it into your MP3. And these guys are great to listen to. I enjoy them. It's the fastest hour that I've ever seen as far as tech stuff is concerned. They keep it current, and they go into just about anything. So if you are a techie and you would like to find another tech show to listen to, it's there. It's accentradio.com. They're on the internet, and they also list their satellite coordinates up there. And they do have a receiver available that you can get. It's a about $160 value. It's a complete dish and digital receiver, and it comes preset to Accent Radio Network. However, you can change it and listen to other network services up there. And it's on a service called free-to-air digital video television. And, of course, you know, like the old satellite that we used to see years ago, they have audio channels up there, too, and one of them is Accent Radio. So I just thought I would tell you about that. And you can certainly pull that down either internet or order yourself up a satellite receiver. It's a 30-inch dish, so that way you'll know what size dish you'll be getting if you order this thing. And it may be well worth it. It's not going to cost you anything to receive any of the material that's up there. If you put a rotor on that dish, you just might be able to, or an actuator rather, that's what they call them in the satellite world, you might be able to turn that dish and get God knows what all. So anyway, I just thought I would point that out to you as well. I think it's a great program. So I had a chance this week, by the way, to talk to Sam Bushman, and he's quite an interesting gentleman. The guy has been in radio. He has owned one radio station and is currently managing another one out in that area. And my goodness, that's got to be one of the most stressful jobs out there, because owning a radio station is very expensive these days, and you're constantly having to chase your tail around looking for advertisers to keep your station afloat. It's a I'll tell you what, if the guy ever gets gray hair, he could say he earned it honestly, because it's a very, very stressful business to be in, and it's a very, very intense dog-eat-dog world out there, the radio business is. But anyway, I just thought I'd pass that along, that you might want to catch that, and you might find it interesting. Just another avenue where you can catch some tech talk, and it's a call-in show, so you can call in. So if you have any questions, you can call in on that broadcast. Just putting it out there because it's something I like, and I thought I would share it with you. So anyway, there you go. And with that, I hope this podcast has been enjoyable. We'll be back with something else. Rest assured of that. And if there's any questions regarding anything else that we've covered here, I may be back with something that you are asking me about. So, you know, who knows? But it's always fun to do this, and I appreciate any interest that you have in certainly what we're doing here. And I sure enjoy some of the podcasts up there that I hear, some of the tech discussions and different things from different ones of you, because that's how we all learn, is swapping the information back and forth. And boy, it makes the world a whole lot smaller. There's no doubt about that. So anyway, with that, we are going to get on out of here, and I'm going to have to, I just remembered I am in audio hijack, and it is in the background, so I'm going to get over that way.
Documents 2, PLS, selected folder.
Or I'm going to Doc, attempt
Safari,
to.
Trans Rumpus, C-Spixed, Audio Hijack Pro.
By the way, you hear Rumpus, that's the FTP server application that I have running on this server for FTP. And as some of you may remember, I did a podcast on that earlier, so that's what that's all about. And with that, let me get back in here to
application doc item, audio hijack pro, quick record window, pause,
get back in there so I can stop that, and we'll get on out of here. And by the way, that's the program we're recording software we're recording the broadcast with, or the podcast. So anyway, there you go. And with that, blessings to you all, and may this be an enriching and rewarding new year for you. So you all take care. Bye for now.
Press